Economic warfare escalates as new sanctions hit Russia. Are we witnessing effective pressure or dangerous fragmentation? Good evening and welcome to Global Crossfire. I'm your host, and tonight we're examining whether expanded trade restrictions on Russia are achieving their goals or backfiring spectacularly. Joining us, Professor James Crawford, Director of the Atlantic Policy Institute from Boston, Professor Hans Weber, Senior Fellow at Brussels Institute for Global Affairs from Brussels, Dr. Li Wei, Senior Fellow at Eastern Strategic Research Center from Shanghai, and Dr. Amara Okonkwo, Development Policy Expert, joining us from Nairobi. Professor Crawford, let me start with you. These expanded sanctions, are they working?
They're absolutely working, but we need patience. Historical precedent shows sanctions take years to bite effectively. Russia's economy is contracting, their technological capabilities are degrading, and their access to Western capital markets remains severely constrained. Yes, they're pivoting to China and India, but these partnerships can't fully replace Western integration. The ruble's instability and capital flight demonstrate real pressure. We're seeing cracks in their war machine funding.
Dr. Leahy says sanctions are slowly strangling Russia's economy. Your response?
Professor Crawford lives in a fantasy. Russia has successfully diversified away from Western dependence faster than anyone predicted. Their trade with China, India, and the global South is booming. The sanctions regime has accelerated de-dollarization and created alternative financial systems. Meanwhile, European energy costs skyrocketed, harming Western competitiveness. These sanctions haven't changed Russian behavior. They've simply reshuffled global trade patterns and weakened Western economic dominance.
But Dr. Li, if sanctions aren't working, why is Russia spending so much diplomatic capital trying to get them lifted?
Russia isn't begging for sanctions relief. They're building parallel systems. The BRICS payment mechanisms, increased yuan trading, commodity-backed currencies, this is strategic repositioning, not desperation. Western sanctions have become a catalyst for multipolar economic architecture.
Professor Weber, you've been listening to this back and forth. What's the European perspective here?
Both perspectives contain truth, frankly. Sanctions have imposed real costs on Russia. Their isolation from Western technology and finance is genuine. However, Dr. Li is correct that we've accelerated alternative partnerships we might have preferred to prevent. Europe has paid a significant price in energy security and industrial competitiveness. The effectiveness question depends on timeframe and objectives. If the goal was behavioral change, results are mixed. If it was containment, there's more success.
Dr. Okonkwo, what does this sanctions regime look like from Nairobi? How is Africa experiencing this economic warfare?
It's devastating and hypocritical. African nations face impossible choices, comply with Western sanctions and lose access to Russian grain and fertilizer, or trade with Russia and face secondary sanctions. Our food security is hostage to geopolitical games we didn't start. Meanwhile, Western nations lecture us about democracy while weaponizing the financial systems they control. This sanctions regime is pushing Africa toward alternative partnerships out of pure survival necessity.
Professor Crawford, Dr. Okonkwo says you're forcing Africa to choose sides in a conflict they didn't create. How do you respond to that charge?
We're not forcing choices, we're upholding international law. When Russia violates territorial sovereignty, there must be consequences. Yes, there are adjustment costs, but we've provided alternative grain supplies and financial support.
Alternative supplies, Professor, African children are going hungry while you play geopolitical chess. Your international law selectively applies when it serves Western interests. Where were these principled sanctions during decades of Western interventions?
That's whataboutism, Dr. Okonkwo. Two wrongs don't make a right. We can't let territorial aggression succeed because of past imperfections in international law enforcement.
It's not whataboutism when your moral authority is the foundation of your sanctions regime. You can't selectively invoke principles when convenient and expect global compliance.
Rapid fire round, one word or phrase. Are sanctions working, Professor Crawford?
Slowly but surely. Economic pressure takes time to translate into political pressure, but the fundamentals are working in our favor.
Backfiring spectacularly. Western sanctions have accelerated multipolarity and undermined dollar dominance faster than any Chinese strategy could have achieved.
Professor Weber.
Mixed results, successful containment, questionable behavioral change. Europe needs better burden-sharing mechanisms for future sanctions regimes to maintain unity.
Dr. Okonkwo.
Destructive to global solidarity. Sanctions without global consensus just fragment the world economy and hurt the most vulnerable populations.
Final thoughts, 15 seconds each, Professor Crawford.
Sanctions remain our best non-military tool for enforcing international norms. Short-term costs are worth long-term stability.
Europe must balance principled positions with pragmatic adjustment costs. Better multilateral coordination is essential for future effectiveness.
Western sanctions have accelerated the emergence of alternative economic systems. The unipolar moment is ending faster than expected.
Global South nations need genuine partnership, not ultimatums. Economic coercion without consensus undermines international cooperation.
Sanctions, strategic tool or strategic blunder? Our panelists remain divided. Tomorrow we examine China's maritime expansion in the South China Sea, military necessity or regional provocation. Thank you for watching Global Crossfire.